The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Upgrade listeners, want to come to the Upgrade live in Brooklyn?
Live and uncensored?
Alice and I are going to be talking with media theorist Douglas Rushkoff and other special guests at On Air Fest in Williamsburg on Friday, March 2nd at 2 p.m. Get tickets at onairfest.com. Hello, and welcome to The Upgrade, the podcast from the team at Lifehacker, where we help you improve your life one week at a time. I'm Melissa Kirsch, editor-in-chief of Lifehacker.
And I'm Alice Bradley, Lifehacker's deputy editor.
And today we're talking about finding your purpose. What the heck does that even mean?
I mean, if you want to get spiritual about it, it's like, why are we here on Earth? But I feel like it's like, why do we get up every day?
When I ask you, Alice, what is your purpose?
To serve Melissa.
Perfect. I guess I think about what is my purpose sometimes. And when you hear the word purpose, it makes you think of something that is a calling in some way, right? It's the thing that people will talk about after you're gone.
Yeah.
Right? And it's what gives your life meaning.
Right. And I think where I've kind of landed is what I enjoy is actually what gives my life meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So
define yourself by what you love.
It's worked for me.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, I think that works for me too. I think that figuring out what you love and letting whatever the answer to that be what it is, like you might love video games. That might be what you really and truly love. Or you might feel like the answer should be family or friends.
Right. Service.
Right. Caring for the needy.
Mm-hmm. But maybe your video game work could, you know, your love of video games could lead you into some interesting place.
Or you may think, you know what, I want to have a purpose here that is more than loving video games, and then set off on a path to try to find a larger purpose.
Yeah.
But asking the questions is important.
Yeah. I think we're going to ask some questions today of our guests.
Today, we're talking with Sanjeev Chopra and Gina Vild. They're the authors of The Two Most Important Days, How to Find Your Purpose and Live a Happier, Healthier Life. Thank you so much for being here, Sanjeev and Gina.
Truly a delight and an honor for us.
We greatly appreciate your inviting us to be on your program.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourselves and the work that you've done and then how you came to write this book?
Sanjeev and I were colleagues and then became friends. And when he wrote a book with Deepak Chopra, who is his brother, on their childhood, it's called Brotherhood, he referenced a story I told him about a trip to India. He related in the book mentioning me by name, and it was really delightful to see that. And I retold the story on Facebook, and Sanjeev said, I love that you did this. You told the story better than I did. And I said, well, it's my story, and I'm a writer. So that led to what Sanjeev described as the Facebook situation where I was helping support his talk through doing research on Facebook. But what's really lovely, I think, about the story is when I was 16, the night before my 16th birthday, which was many years ago, I made a list of all the things I envisioned for my life. And I've achieved most of them. I have a beautiful family, and I've traveled, and I have a profession that I love. And one of the things I had always wanted to do is publish a book and never really thought that would happen. And when Sanjeev asked me to collaborate on this book, he said, I remember you told me that story, and I want to help make that happen for you.
So tell us what the book is about.
So the book is actually about happiness and how to be happier. And one of the ways in which you can do that is to identify your singular life purpose. And you may be aware that Martin Seligman, who's the father of positive psychology, has theorized that we all have a genetic set point, and that determines our capacity for happiness and what we call the happiness quotient. And 50% of that is inherited, it's believed. Another 10% is related to your satisfaction with your living conditions. And in case you're worried your set point might be too low, an astounding 40% of your happiness quotient is determined by voluntary actions. And this book is about how you can seek out and take voluntary actions that will boost your HQ, your happiness quotient. Mm-hmm. And living a life of purpose is one way in which to do that.
So, you know, in the book, we talk about the importance of friendship, forgiveness, doing things for others, expressing gratitude. I often refer to it as the three F's and one G: friends, forgiveness, for others, and then gratitude. And if you do these things, you're bound to increase your happiness quotient. Even that genetic set point, which accounts for 50% of our happiness, is malleable, it's fluid, it's dynamic. And we can increase that by exercise, behavioral cognitive therapy, antidepressants, meditation, but most importantly, by expressing gratitude. And again, Robert Emmons has written a wonderful book called Thanks. And his research shows that if you express gratitude for a few minutes in writing for 6 weeks, you do it every day for 6 weeks, that happiness quotient, that set point, increases by an astounding 25%.
There are other ways that you can exercise that gratitude muscle. You can start when your children are very young by asking them when you're reading bedtime stories, as I did, what made you happy today? And it actually gets them oriented toward a particular way of thinking. Or we suggest having a gratitude partner. And I did this once a number of years ago with my girlfriend. Every night we would send an email to each other about three things that made us happy as a way to just force us to go through the exercise. We knew she was waiting for mine and I was waiting for hers.
Tell us about what those two most important days of your life are.
The two most important days are the day that you're born and the day you find out why. And finding out why you're here, and generally that has to do with being of service to others and putting good out into the world.
So it seems like there are more and more books about happiness, as you said, out there right now, and more self-help books than ever. But people are less happy than they used to be. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think people look and seek happiness in the wrong places. So people think, if I'm going to be successful, I'll get this new job, I'm going to get promoted, I'm going to get a new car, I'm going to move into a bigger house, I'm going to join this country club, I'm going to buy this wonderful suit, I'm going to be happy. And that doesn't lead to happiness. You acquire something expensive, you're probably happy for a month or two at the most, and then you get used to it. It's a new car, even if it's a Tesla or a fancy Mercedes. And this phenomenon is called hedonic adaptation. In contrast, if you have money and you spend it wisely, two things. One is meaningful experiences. So traveling, learning something new, spending time with friends, celebrating your friendships. You don't have to go to Milford Sound in New Zealand. If we're in Boston, we could, you know, go to New Hampshire, go to the Cape, or just call a friend who's celebrating an anniversary and take them out for dinner. So meaningful experiences and giving away some of that money to worthy causes, that will lead to happiness. There's something very interesting that is said. Five things people say: I should have spent more time with friends. I should have said I love you more often. I should have traveled more. I should have been the bigger person and said I'm sorry. I should have had the courage to pursue my dreams and aspirations. You know who says these things?
People who are dying.
Yeah, people in hospice on their deathbed. Asked, what are your greatest regrets in life? Nobody says, I should have worked harder, should have made more money, I should have, you know, owned a new Tesla every 3 years. And the point of it is, we need to be doing it now. Let's not, any of us, have any of those regrets at the end of our life.
And much of our of the philosophy and the thinking comes back to being in the present moment. So think about it. When you're with your friends, you're in the moment. You're generally not thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow or yesterday because you're with those chosen few that you enjoy and you're laughing. It also is reflective of people who meditate. The book goes into the benefits of meditation, the science behind the benefits of meditation and of yoga, and actually of listening to music. So there are a lot of ways to be present. And to answer your question about people being happier, they're happier when they live in the moment and are not looking back and not looking ahead.
Now, I know there's lots to yoga and meditation, but I can sort of hear our audience saying, you know, we're busy people. We only have so many hours in the day. How much yoga, how much meditation do you really need to reap the benefits?
So, you know, my last book was called The Big Five, Five Things We Can Do to Live Longer and Be Happy. And it talks about coffee, vitamin D, exercise, nuts, and meditation. On a good sunny day, don't put sunblock, go for a brisk walk to your favorite Java shop. So now you got the exercise, the vitamin D from the sun, and the coffee. Don't go nuts remembering this. And before you go, meditate. Now you've got all five. And there's an ancient saying, you should meditate once a day, and if you don't have time to do that, you should meditate twice a day. And if you meditate, you're much more creative, you have better interpersonal relationships, better focus, better energy, you sleep better. So it pays huge dividends. And in fact, one can't afford not to meditate.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let me ask you about community, just going back to friendship for a moment. So many of our friends now are people that we commune with online. Is that quality interaction as well?
There's a different thinking around that. And we've read research on both sides. And I think it's how you approach it. So if you're approaching your Instagram account and Facebook account and Twitter and really tallying up how many people like what you're posting, and if you're marketing yourself for some reason to be liked or to be seen, I think those people are probably most dissatisfied. But I personally like social media because I have a huge circle of friends and I don't have enough hours in the day to see everyone. And so it's a way to see your children, your friends' children growing up. It's a way to stay connected with colleagues who lived with whom I worked in England, or colleagues that I'm friends that I lived in Ohio near. And so if you use it as a way to expand your connectivity in a meaningful way, I think it can be beneficial.
So I tweet almost every day, but I tweet only one of three things. Either a book I'm reading that I recommend, a quote, it might be my own saying or something wonderful that I heard. And the third would be a health tip. Here's a new study on vitamin D. That I think is useful to people. And then if people retweet it or say, thank you so much, it's a pretty rewarding experience, and I'm happy for it.
I think you have to be careful not to let social media replace human contact. And I think that's the gray area when you see research coming up with contradictory evidence about whether there's value to it.
Talk a little bit about forgiveness. I don't think anyone would dispute that forgiveness, when we're holding grudges, it punishes us more than the person we're holding the grudge against. But it can be very complicated when we've been wronged. And it feels like forgiving somebody is either endorsing what they've done or agreeing to forget about what they've done if we feel that we've been wronged. How do we convince ourselves that forgiveness is a good thing when we're still wounded?
I understand how hard it can be personally. And I think once you make that decision and understand that the anger and the resentment is not harming the other person, they're often not even aware of it, that by letting go and forgiving, that you are able to heal yourself and move on with your life. I think it's such a powerful thing to do. And I also think it comes down to just making that decision. And people often think it means that you're saying whatever was done to me is okay, but it's not that at all. You know, I was raised to believe that people do the best they can. And I did believe that. And then when I was actually forced to confront that, I thought, maybe not. I don't know. But I now believe that again. I do believe that. And I think by understanding and having compassion for others, that's important.
So forgiveness is very, very hard, but it's a choice. And the moment one makes that choice, it's like the weight and the shackles lift off your shoulders and you feel less burdened. To me, an amazing and inspirational person is Nelson Mandela. Spent 27 years in prison. When he's released, he's asked the question, "Mr. Mandela, do you harbor resentment against your white captors?" And he gave the most elegant answer. He said, "I have no bitterness. I have no resentment. Resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies."
Yeah, I think I read a study about, I'm going to get this totally wrong, but there was a study about people in the most kind of dire circumstances and the ones who could set their own rules about even the most minor things, like, you know, taking the bread that they had and saving it for later just because they wanted to have something their own way, came out remarkably better than other people.
You know, Martin Luther said, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." Mm. And I think we all need to think about planting our apple trees, no matter what adversity comes our way.
I'd like to talk now a little bit, if we can, about finding your purpose. How can we find our purpose?
So it comes in one of two ways. Either one reflects on it and it'll come to you, or somebody has an incident happen in their lives where they witness something horrific, and they have the fortitude, the grit, the compassion, the courage to say, "You know what? This is unacceptable. I'm going to try and make a difference." And they don't realize when they start doing that, that it will turn out to be their life's purpose, and they may spend the next 40, 50 years doing that. I'm very privileged to have met Papa Jaime from the country Colombia. His name is Jaime Aramillo, but he's a national hero, hence the term Papa Jaime. And he witnessed the tragic death of a 7-year-old orphan girl. She ran up to the street to pick up a toy that somebody had discarded, and a speeding truck came and smashed her into oblivion. And he was 28, and he said to himself, "You know what? I'm going to adopt these kids." He has now adopted, housed, schooled, and fed 52,000 kids. So it can come by that kind of freak accident that one witnesses. That's unusual, but can come from reflecting. And one of the exercises one can do is to take 30 3x5 index cards. And for a month, at the end of the day, jot down 2 or 3 things you did that day, and then give it a score from 1 to 10. 1, you were miserable. 10, you were in bliss. At the end of the month, look at those 30 cards, strike out everything, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and look at 6, 7, 8, 9 and say, "Wow, yeah, that really made me happy. I'm going to do more of that." And the more you do of that, the purpose will come. One of the things that will bring incredible clarity to finding your purpose is meditation. The other is discussing it with your friends. So if you sit down with your dear friends and discuss ideas, and if you meditate, and if you reflect, and if you read, the purpose will come.
And I think you also have to be attentive to yourself and what is it that gives you pleasure. And inevitably, when you look at what's on those cards at the end of the day, or when you talk to your friends or you think about what makes you feel good, it's often about doing something for others. We suggest that you pay forward kindnesses. I still remember about 4 years ago, I was in line at Starbucks, and when I got to pay for my coffee, the woman, the barista said, "Your coffee's been paid for." Someone comes in every morning and pays for the coffee for four people. And I said, "Can I thank him?" And she said, "No, he doesn't want you to know who it is," and he's gone. And I'm still telling that story because kindnesses resonate. And I think when you look for your purpose, it can be grand, but it can also be very personal. And it can be about finding those things that make you feel valued and that you are of value to other people. We're often asked, can my purpose change? And we think it can at different times of your life, or you may have a multiple purpose. You may have be driven to do things on different fronts, and that's also appropriate and fine.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Well, we were truly honored to be invited.
We're really grateful. Yeah. Thank you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And now it's time for Upgrade of the Week. Every week, we talk about that one little thing that's made a big difference in our lives. Joining us for Upgrade of the Week is producer Levi Sharp. Hey, Levi.
Hello.
Hi, Levi.
Hi.
Levi, what's your upgrade?
So I have two. One actually came from an interview that we did last year about eating less meat, and I've been gaining a little bit of a tummy, just a little one. Mm-hmm. I took some advice from author Brian Kateman, and I am doing 3 vegetarian days a week.
That makes you a reducitarian. Mm.
I don't like to label things, okay?
Oh, you're such a millennial.
But yeah.
You're dietarily fluid.
It's really hard for me.
Really?
I'm a big meat eater. Mostly my diet is just, it's the 3 B's. It's, you know, burgers, burritos, and beer. But apparently that's not exactly the healthiest for you.
How's that going?
I ordered a salad the other day, and I had to utter the words, with no chicken, and a single tear fell from my eye. And that's kind of how
this doesn't
been going.
Sound like an upgrade at all.
This sounds like a downgrade that you're definitely not going to stick with.
It's making you cry.
Well, I'll take the tears as long as the tummy disappears. Hey, that rhymes.
Oh. All right.
The second one is, if you're anything like me, which you should be, one of your all-time favorite movies is High Fidelity. And I found a High Fidelity Spotify playlist, which not only includes all the songs that are played in the movie.
Beta Band? You got the Beta Band?
There's the Beta Band in there? But also the songs that they reference. So it's this huge playlist of awesome music that'll remind you of the movie and take you on an emotional roller coaster.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Definitely. Melissa, what's your upgrade?
So In the scintillating and continuing saga of me and my file management, as you will recall, I switched back to Evernote because I was having some syncing issues with Bear. Then, it's about to get really good. There's a twist.
Ooh, I can't wait.
I began to have syncing issues with Evernote.
What?
It was not syncing across platforms. And I don't know why this is. I don't know why nobody can get their act together and make some software that actually works. But I learned a magic keyboard shortcut that will force a sync on Evernote. So if you hold down Shift and Option and click the sync button, you will force a sync of Evernote across platforms. Hmm. And it works.
Wow.
So I'm back on Evernote, bloated as it is. Mm-hmm. And I will keep you apprised of every tiny thing that goes right and goes wrong.
Wow. Keep us apprised of your Greek tragedy.
Yes.
I can't wait. I'm dying to hear what the next chapter brings.
I don't even know. I'm afraid to find out. And Alice, what's your upgrade?
My upgrade is a spice. Actually, it is a seasoning blend that I discovered from Trader Joe's.
Is it the Everything Bagel seasoning blend?
It is not, but that one is very good.
I know a lot of people who like it.
I like it, but I'm here to tell you about another one.
What?
The chili lime seasoning blend.
Uh-huh.
It is delightful. It contains, I can tell you exactly what it contains because I have the ingredients right here. Sea salt, chili pepper, red bell pepper, lime juice powder, citric acid, and rice concentrate. And that's it. Mm. And you would not think that would be so delicious. When I first tasted it, I was sure there was sugar in it because it was too tangy. It was like it perfectly encompassed everything I like about chili lime tortilla chips, but in a seasoning powder.
Wow, what is rice concentrate?
Good. They use it apparently instead of silicon dioxide as an anti-caking agent.
So
it's the last ingredient.
Okay.
So there's no cake in it.
There's no cake. Levi, silly. You silly bear. Anyway, I love it. It's really good on chicken. It's transformed my chicken experience.
Don't say chicken to Levi.
I know.
Sorry. Don't say chicken in the presence of a reducitarian.
Hard-boiled eggs.
Ooh.
Will it transform my salad into not a salad?
Maybe it'll turn it into a nacho. I don't know if it would.
I'll take a nacho.
It is hard for me not to just eat it straight from the shaker.
Great.
You know what I'm going to do? I got a plan.
What's that?
I have raw cashews.
Hmm.
I'm going to toast them. I'm going to add the chili lime seasoning.
Mm. You're that person now? You make your own spice nuts?
I'm going to make my own spice nuts. It's going to happen.
And that's our show. The Upgrade is produced by Levi Sharp. Our executive director of audio is Mandana Mofidi. Our theme music is by Slowbiz. Brad Fisher mixed the episode.
If you want to say hi to us, you can shoot us an email at upgrade@lifehacker.com or leave us a voice message at 347-687-8109. And if you can, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. More ratings means that more people find the show, and that's good for all of us.
Follow Lifehacker on Twitter @Lifehacker and on Facebook at facebook.com/Lifehacker. And you can find show notes for this and every episode of The Upgrade written by the talented deputy editor Alice Bradley. Mm-hmm,
thank you.
At lifehacker.com/the show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.